episode of Basketball Daddy Podcast. I'm your host, Keith. Today, we're going to talk about the NBA restart, the 8-game regular season schedule, plus the play-in tournament and the playoff. I'm going to discuss how this affects fantasy, and I'm going to discuss how what I think of this new format to restart the season. I also will go over how it's different from my proposal and how it's similar to my proposal that I sent to the NBA last year. In today's podcast, I will also have a special interview with someone I know from my fantasy leagues, and I'll bring that interview to you later this episode. As you heard, the NBA laid out their plan to return to play this week. The plan is to have 22 teams from the top 22 records return and play an 8-game mini tournament to determine the final seeding. Now, this is very similar to my proposal of 20 teams playing 25-game tournament to determine the playoff seeding. Instead of 20, the NBA goes for 22. Instead of 25 games, the NBA goes for 8. It's very similar. Given situation, it's actually basically my idea. All kidding aside, this is the best we can hope for. The only difference is in my proposal, I propose that the mini tournament determines the seeding all by itself. Like, everyone gets a clean slate, and in 25 games, they would determine the seeding that way. The first 50 or so season games will get wiped out once they qualify. And in my proposal, I said the top 10 team from each tournament, from each conference, will qualify. The NBA, in this sense, will take just the top 22 teams. Doesn't matter the conference. So there's the similarity and differences between my proposal and the NBA. Now, given this fact, the fantasy season is over. I have asked Yahoo for a resolution, and they're working on it. That's what they said to me this week. Given what I know about software development life cycles, and given how complex the Yahoo platform is, and how many devices that they are on, it's going to take some time to work out the kinks and deliver those changes to the commissioners who wants to terminate the league and distribute the prizes. And we'll have to wait. I think it will take a month at least to test out everything. So let's hope that they can get this right. Still good news for have NBA come back. We'll just see how the Yahoo game fix this for all the commissioners. And today I have a special guest. He's the reigning champion of my Yahoo Custom League, Cash League. He's from Massachusetts, and he used to play some AAU ball. Here's Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Keith, thanks for having me.
You are on the podcast.
Yeah, we're all going to be in the podcast.
Yes,
Kyle, Keith, and Kevin.
Kevin is joining us in a conference.
Conference call, yes. So, Kevin, tell me about a little bit about your background.
Your background, your life.
So I've been pretty much obsessed with basketball my whole life. My dad played Division I basketball at Fresno State.
Kevin plays basketball.
Kind of ingrained in us at a young age, and me and my brother, have a brother about 2 years older, so our life was just revolved around playing basketball, watching basketball. And, you know, we were growing up right around when those Jordan Bulls teams were kind of dominating. So I played pretty high level my whole life. Played AU basketball in Massachusetts for a team called Middlesex Magic, who were pretty much Massachusetts' best team with the Nationals in Florida almost every year. We never won a national championship, but we made it every year. Some notable graduates from Middlesex Magic are Duncan Robinson and Pat Connaughton. I never played with them, but I played with a couple of their brothers before, so.
Wow.
So I went to college assuming I was going to play, but a couple things happened, and I ended up playing, but, you know, I ended up playing pickup almost every day, so it was actually even better for me, and then started getting into watching a lot of hoops, and so now I watch the NBA almost every night, and hugely into it, so here we are now.
Yeah, and what better way to enjoy basketball than with fantasy basketball?
That's right.
Yeah.
How about yourself? What's kind of your background in basketball?
Well, nothing like yours, obviously. So a little bit of my background. Actually, this is the first time I actually talk about a little bit of my background. I just play street ball with my friends.
And then you got hurt.
Yeah. And then, like, I think I peaked around 22. So, and, right before 25, I kind of, like, stopped playing, like very, like, every day or something. So, and around in my late 20s, I got hurt. I got a fractured ankle. And then I kind of, like, stopped.
How did you get that?
I fell.
Being hurt?
I fell pretty hard, yeah, because I got a fractured ankle. The nurse said I got like a piece of bone popped out of my ankle, like loose inside. But anyway, I mean, like everyone, like a lot of, you know, hoop fans and stuff, they all play basketball, and if the reason they're not playing is because someone, you know, got hurt. So, but here I am, two kids, married. And of course, we have a lot of free time at this point, and so, you know, that's how I got
into. Just like
into,
me, I could do anything.
You know, got into podcasts, but I started Yahoo Fantasy in 2003, and you know, it started from there. I hosted my own league, I joined other leagues, and here we are. You know.
Did you watch a lot of NBA before you got into fantasy?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, I do remember, like, the end of the Jordan first three-peat run. And I still remember, like, him coming back. I remember his second three-peat. And then I remember the Lakers. I was a big Shaq fan, so I remember the Lakers three-peat. And you know, and everything afterwards, you know, the LeBron James dynasty or his run at finals.
And also James Harden.
James Harden, we can talk about James Harden. We can just talk about James Harden.
And LeBron James also.
Okay, we can talk about each of our favorite players. How about that?
My favorite player is...
Who's your favorite?
James Harden.
It's not Trae Young?
No.
It's not Trae Young, really? You talk about Trae Young all the time.
I'm not anymore, because I like his beard.
You like his beard?
He's like Santa. He's just beard is bigger than a Santa Claus. He's like a big Bronco.
Okay. All right. So
upside down.
All right. So Kevin, who was your favorite player growing up? Is it Jordan?
Yeah, it is 100% Jordan, hands down for me.
Oh, James.
No,
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Yeah. Yeah. Michael Jordan was like James Harden, and even better, James Harden with defense.
Michael Jordan. Oh.
Right.
I'm a huge Celtics fan, so. You know, I'm a big Pierce guy, and KG kind of became, like, my spirit animal. I love KG so much after he came to Boston. So, recent times, then Rondo, Pierce, Ray Allen, like, those are some of my favorite guys ever now in terms of, like, recent times, you know?
What about Brian Scalabrine?
Yeah, Way Mamba. Gotta love him.
I mean, he would look like somebody... He would look like a Duncan Robinson type of guy from your AAU in that area, right?
Well, have you ever seen how he challenged people in Boston to come play him one-on-one? And, like, thousands of people showed up, and he just absolutely dominated them all, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He's like an NBA player, but he's actually so good.
Oh, yeah. All these guys have game, and, like, even a guy like Scalabrine, like, in the NBA, you think, like, oh, he's garbage.
And then compared to, like, you know, just a regular Joe off the street, like, not even a comparison. Like, once you play with, like, real players, like, I played with some high school players, and, like, all right, I see I'm not even close.
You are 9 years old.
Yeah, okay, so we all went to our favorite, you know, basketball player growing up, okay?
That's
me! Yeah, well, you all few years of your life. And let's talk about your all-time fantasy players. You know, not just name, like your favorite.
I never got that. I can talk about my schoolmates.
Well, let's let Kevin talk about his favorite fantasy players.
My clothes, and they help me attract mates.
All right, so Kevin, let's hear from you. What are your favorite fantasy players?
Actually, I'm not a person, but
I'd say my favorite fantasy player ever is actually Rajon Rondo when he was in his prime for the Celtics, and it wasn't like he was that amazing, but he was great for 9 catch because his field goal percentage was typically good. His assists are off the charts. You know, he's averaging, I think, about 13 a game in a couple year run there. He's at like almost 2 steals a game. He didn't hit threes. Free throw percentage was rough, but you know, you can just put those categories. And I've never loved rooting a guy on more than I have when having Rondo on my team. You know what I mean? So I'd say it's probably Rondo's up the top. And
so hot today.
You know, some recent guys. Maybe I really loved having like LeBron this year. Bam Adebayo. I think I'm gonna be targeting Bam for years to come. As like one of my main guys. Those are a few of you.
Well, my favorite all time has been another guard. It's Jason Kidd.
Okay.
Jason Kidd. I mean, you know how I like triple doubles.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just look at my team, right? So yeah, Jason Kidd. To me, is my all time favorite fantasy player because. Namely, I won a lot with him. I had like a strategy back in the days that revolved around Jason Kidd and his strength. And I stacked him with Chris Paul, who's still great, who's also one of my favorite. And then I'll go down the list, and then you go down your list too. My favorite was like Ben Wallace, for center. Remember when Ben Wallace was like, you know, 13, 14 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, give you field goal percentages, low turnovers.
Well, his blocks were off the charts there for a couple of years, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's...
Category winner.
Yeah. He's what's it say? He's like this year's... there's no comparison with him this year or like recent guys. Like yeah. Drummond is the closest, like, because all the rebounds and defense.
Drummond and Gobert, but they're not even the same level. You know?
No, not the same level. And then, of course, like Namal Odom, also, you know, with the rebounds, assists, steals, blocks.
Okay.
Josh Smith. Josh Smith is also with the insane blocks, defense, decent assists, you know, points, field goal percentage, all that. And then, lastly, my sixth guy has to be Andrei Kirilenko. Even though I had only had him for 1 year, in terms of what he can do, I can't omit him in like one of my favorite lists.
Because one of his line,
I remember I had it when he was playing, and his line was a ridiculous line that was like out of like video game, not even video game. You know, like you're talking about like 15, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals, 6 blocks. 5-6-6-5.
Well, he's one of the only two guys to get the 5x5, right?
Yeah, he's one of the few guys. Olajuwon is another guy that does that.
That's right. Yeah.
Good. I see you know your stats.
Olajuwon was dominant there for so many years.
I mean, if you look at like back in the days, Olajuwon and Robinson's, their stat line is like unreal compared to like this year. I mean, these days. They were like averaging 4 blocks.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what are your other favorite fantasy players? Just go down the list, you know.
From like old times.
Yeah. Or current. Or even up to now.
I would say one of my underrated guys, I would say, is Jared Wallace. I thought he was a really good fantasy player, kind of underrated. I feel like he's one of those guys you could always target and get him every year. If you just reached around higher, and he'd always perform his ADP. Mm-hmm. Another guy I got a lot was always Joe Johnson. He's solid, you know. He's one of those 24-4-4 guys, 25-5-5 guys, which just doesn't hurt you ever. Also, Monta Ellis was probably one of my favorites. You know, it wasn't really. Sometimes I fall in love with these high point guards, high scoring point guards a little bit too much when they don't do anything else, but I think everyone does. Let's see, who else? Some of my favorites. I'd say Allen Iverson there for a couple of years, especially when I was on Denver when I first started getting to fantasy. You know, he was incredible there. People don't really remember that, I think. See, let me look back at another draft here from old times. Let's see who I took. Dwayne Wade, I used to take a lot, but that's pretty obvious. One KG, Brandon Roy was another one of my favorites because he was a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, eligible always, and I love those type of guys. Same with Joe Johnson. But yeah, I'd say those are probably some of my all-time favorites.
Wow, that's a pretty good list. I think we share some of those players, especially Joe Johnson and your favorite, like Rajon Rondo. I had like a few years. I had Rajon Rondo, and then I play against the team with Rajon Rondo. So I definitely know how lethal he is. Joe Johnson, I had Allen Iverson. I had 1 year also. You remember Al Jefferson?
Oh yeah, Celtics.
Yeah, he wasn't a Celtic, but he really blew up when he was in Timberwolves as like you know the man there.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
He was just 20-10 guaranteed every year.
20-10, almost 2 blocks. You know the field goal percentages, the volume. You just love it. Obviously his turnover isn't ideal, but he's a little bit like I don't know John Collins ish. You know the 20-10. 1.5 block, field goal percentage. He was like, you know, solid second round kind of talent for a while.
Yeah, it was interesting because he kind of fell off very quickly there because when the league started to go to more, you know, shooting bigs, and he just, that was never part of his game. You know, Al Jefferson was going to shoot a three, and it just kind of passed him very quickly. I remember he got like traded to Indiana, and he just sat on the bench, and he could never get it back because he just refused to just be as, you know, just a low post on him to score, but you got to expand the modern NBA.
That is definitely true. I also happen to think that he also got injured and never really got back to, you know, his top form. Otherwise, I think, you know, even off the bench, he would have been 14 points a game, 6 rebounds, very easily. But yeah, and his defense was also, while he did average more than a block, his defense wasn't exactly great. You know, he's a little bit slow and all that. Wow.
Al Jefferson. Fantasy, but yeah, real life, he wasn't amazing.
Yeah. I mean, okay, let's talk about the NBA restart. I want to take your thoughts on, you know, what do you think of the plan to get 22 teams, 13, I think it was 13 Western and 9 Eastern teams, and they're going to play 8 games against each other conference in its own conference, and then they're gonna if the 9th place and the 8th place are like separated by no more than 4 games, then they will play like a play-in tournament. I want to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, I kind of mixed thoughts about it because I'm obviously happy NBA is back, but I just like, I don't want there to be an asterisk of the season, which I kind of think there will be, just because these guys are going to be so out of game shape, and it's just not going to be fluid to what we saw during the regular season. You know, I just feel like, the best team probably will win, but it just may not be indicative of what we would have seen if the season never got halted. So I'm obviously happy it's back, and I like that they got creative plan, but I just, it kind of feels weird to me, to be honest. You know, I don't really know why, but yeah, I'm hopeful that it's going to be good. And I'm actually pretty hopeful that Celtics can make a pretty big run here. So,
yeah,
I personally don't think that the Lakers are gonna be able to win it after this wall. Even though I thought they were the favorites in the regular season, but I think it's gonna kind of depend on who's keeping in shape and who's hot right now to get back out there and kind of play fearlessly. We'll see how it goes.
What are your thoughts on it? Yeah. I mean, no surprise that you don't pick the Lakers. I do see the Bucks. I think this could very well be the Bucks' chance to go for their second championship in franchise. And I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, no one's gonna be totally happy with. I mean, obviously we wanted, you know, more games, but it's a pretty decent compromise to, you know, in terms of safety and manageability. And having something for the fans, and also satisfying the TV contracts. Notably, I see that the Lakers play the least games if this continues. They only play 71 games of all the teams. And
really?
Yeah, they play
because they haven't played as many up to date right now.
Right. The game count, like if you're playing like rotisserie and you have Lakers, the game count is actually pretty low compared to other teams. The Mavericks. On the other hand, you know, if you have Porzingis or Doncic or any other guys, they have the most game count when this is all said and done, which is at 75. So,
okay.
Yeah. And what I thought about the play-in qualification is if you're within four games, if four games or less, then you can qualify. Then you have a play-in tournament, like, you know, like how like have a runoff in elections. You have a tournament if you qualify, if you're close enough. But with eight games, right, to get within four, especially most of the teams are like more than four away. You know, the Portland Trailblazers and two other teams are like 3.5 games back of the Grizzlies. With eight games, Phoenix is probably not going to make it. But with eight games, it's not that hard for the Grizzlies to basically lock it up within
that. Right. I think that's kind of why I saw Dame was a little bit upset by it, right? Because he kind of knows that.
Right. And he's the only one, or the Portland Trailblazers is the only one that kind of rejected the plan. I think they want something, you know, that give them more better chance to catch up. But obviously, you know, every other team.
They run a little run there too at the end of when things started to, you know what I mean, right before the shutdown. So.
Yeah,
I think that's another reason why he's a little mad, because he just came back from injury, pulled his groin right before the All-Star game, and he just came back, and they started winning some games.
Dame was amazing for like a month, January.
He was
like 40 something points per game.
I've never owned a Dame in my life, and I'd really love to because he's such a fun player now.
Hey, watch me bid you up. For Dame next year.
What are you going early this year, by the way? Do you remember?
For my draft?
In our league, yeah. What do you go for? Let me see if I can find it here.
Oh, I'll tell you how I drafted.
55 he went in our league.
Yeah. He was always like lower first round. He's always like that kind of price tag.
Yeah.
But he always end up middle of first round. And if you do games total, because he always plays like all his games, he's actually early round.
Yeah.
And so is Jokic. Jokic is like top three, top four. If you do like rotisserie, if you do like game counts, totals, he's top three, top four. And he's always like, he's like Dame. He's like the big man of Dame. Always safe, always plays well when it matters. And he's never gonna cost like extraordinary amount. Although he did cost like $80, I think, this year.
Yeah. You know? He looks good too. I don't know if you've seen pictures. He looks skinny. He looks ready to go.
Oh yeah, he's in shape right now?
Yeah, that was just surprising. I mean, I've gained a lot of weight from shutdown myself. But he looks good.
I'm glad. I'm glad that he kept in shape, because I think his Nuggets team deserves like a good run. But I was afraid, like, you know, that he'll get out of shape, because he's always comes in out of shape. And then after, like, oh my God, what if they restart the league and they play 15 games and have to play Jokic and he's out of shape, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, he'll still put up some good numbers, it just won't be the dominant ones, you know.
So I mean I need him to be dominant.
Yeah, I know.
I think I held you up long enough, Kevin. This has been great call. We should do this again.
No problem.
Yeah. We should do this
again. Let me ask you one thing before we go.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of your general theory about it's called auction leagues. Sorry. You prefer doing kind of the higher stars to get your money out of the way and maybe tied up in one guy in terms of, like, you know, for instance, what Jokic go, $73. Are you more in terms of, like, you know, say you go Drew Holiday and Kawhi or Drew Holiday and Jimmy Butler to try to get two absolute studs, but maybe you're just not going to cost you know, 70 plus for an absolute superstar? You got a kind of theory in which you're rolling with nowadays, or you kind of just seeing what happens during the draft?
Ah, you're trying to get some information for next year. I see.
Just curious.
You gotta do some information collecting for next year. I tell you what, the strategy that I find, it's not like, you know, so if you saw how I kind of like bid, I like to bid in the middle. If you look at it, I never bid anybody like above 60. Drew Holiday was like my highest, and he was like 50 something, low 50s. And Booker was like, but Booker was an amazing value this year at $30. He should have gone for 40 or 48.
Yeah, I think people were sleeping when he was on the clock there.
That's good memory. I was like, what? I got him?
You're just trying to keep people honest.
I know, like, no one even tried to bid up Booker. And it's like, and then he fell to me, which actually helped me with my trades later this year.
Yeah.
So I like to, if you look at my history, I like to bid in the middle. But here's my thought on auction. Auction is the only team format, the only fantasy format where you can get stars and scrubs. You can get three elite players, right? Let's say, like, possibly, I can probably get a Jokic and a Doncic next year. And plus, maybe a plus a Drew Holiday, or play maybe plus another a middle guy, you know?
Yeah, like a 30-ish plus guy.
Yeah, maybe like a Siakam. Maybe an Aldridge. Somebody like that's like solid, but like not expensive. Like someone in the third, fourth round, right? So I can get the two guys that are you, what we say, rank in the first tier or rank in the first round. And then I get another guy. And then the rest is, I'll just, you know, I just wait until the end of the draft and then just pick up, you know, guys in like the 150s and 200s.
Well, it's nice because you can formulate your team exactly how you want to with your punts by doing it that way, you know what I mean? Because you have such a strong start.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't really know what the answer is. I've done it both ways over my career. I've had success both ways. So I don't really know if there is a right answer, you know what I mean? I think it kind of depends on who your ancillary guys are.
There isn't a right answer. You both, I mean, I know you have success drafting your way with, you know, you skip the first round guys, and then you lucked out on, you try to collect a lot of second round, third round guys, and if they hit, like Kyrie hit and Jimmy Butler hit, then, like, you know, you win. But there's no correct way. It's just all depend on preference. I personally think, because I've seen, based on what I see, that if you're going to do a mock, it's your chance to create a team with two top stars. And so I would do it that way, just because, like, you know, this is what a mock can, this is what an auction draft can do, right? So I'll go that route, and then I say go middle. Go down the road. Oh, the other way, the other third one, just for complete analysis, you can just, you know, draft a guy in the first round. You can bid for a guy first round, bid a guy in the second round, third round. You know, basically, do a snake draft style on the auction.
Yeah, kind of progressively keep going lower with your money that you're for the period round, kind of.
But in the auction, it's very unpredictable. So to get rid of the uncertainty, you can just like bid up the first two guys, and then you can just let other people can deal with the unpredictability of the middle rounds, and then you just, you know, you can just like have a coffee and then come back in like 30 minutes, and then clean up the later rounds.
The problem is sometimes you got a guy in mind and then everyone else does too, and they start bidding them up and you weren't ready for that bid war, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or you walk away and then Ricky Rubio goes for $5 and you're like, oh wait, I have no money for that. You know,
yeah,
I could have got that. So that's a lot of fun. Auction League is a lot of fun. I won't keep you any longer, Kevin.
Okay.
All right, listen to your interview. I should have it on Sunday, late Sunday. Okay?
All right, yeah. Thank you very much for having me. Great talking to you. Nice to chat with Kyle, meet you guys too. Anytime, happy to do it.
All right, man. Thank you, Kevin. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Have a great day. See ya.
Right, you too. That was my interview with Kevin, and back to the podcast. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can subscribe to me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, among other platforms. You can follow me at bbdaddypodcast on Twitter, or at Basketball Daddy Podcast on Instagram. Thank you again for listening. See you next time.